Yeah, you don't have to hold it too close. Just go like that. It's okay. Like this.
Usually it's presented that like Raga Marga started when it's advanced, but in Ragavart Mishandrika at the end, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that one passes through the same stages like Anartha Nivriti, Nishtha, Ruchi, and so on. So can you elaborate on this? It doesn't start after Nishtha. The point is it starts same stages.
One of the things we discussed in previous classes, somebody said something. The starting point of Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghavartman and Chandrika Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Basically, when Rag appears, somehow one is blessed either from prior lives, association with advanced devotees, one comes to this life with his sanskaras and impressions and inclinations to worship Radha and Krishna and practice Raghunuga Bhakti because he practiced last life. So he may start very early in his devotional career. So it can begin right from the beginning because there's Dikshadi Shikshanam. Bhakti begins with Guru Parashraya. We take shelter of Guru, then we take Diksha, then we receive Shiksha, instructions. So that's the beginning point. Adoshara Tatasara Sangha Bhajana Kriya. So we begin Bhajana Kriya, and there's an Artha Nivritti. So now that we're with Guru, we've taken Diksha, and we surrendered, and we're serving Him. And we're chanting the holy name. And now suddenly, from our last life, these seeds of rag have sprout, and I'm just beginning, and I'm still making save aparads or maybe some aparads, but the greed arises. The actual greed arises in my heart. It's called praktana. That's there in the Raghavartman Chandrika. Adonika or praktana. Praktana. Loba or whatever it's called, it means carried over from last life, and Adonika means newly started. So then we can begin there because we'll be the greed will manifest. So I want to read this, I want to read that, and the guru will observe. Although we're so called new devotee, our guru will observe the genuine inclination of our heart and the expression of our greed and guide us accordingly. We don't find that happening very often, that someone's carrying over greed from last life. What we find, at least my own experience from my Western birth and upbringing in ISKCON, is that everyone, as my teacher said the other day, he said, there's so many devotees, but who has rag? Who has bhav? Very, very few. So it's a very narrow path. And there's a lot of publicity, it's in the air a lot. Obviously, when I joined in 1975, began my sadhana bhajan and Gaudiya Sampradaya, I didn't know about Raghunuga Bhakti. I never read the term it's in Nectar Devotion. But it wasn't, it's just one phrase. And out of so many books, you read one phrase, Raghunuga Bhakti. It didn't make much impression. No one was talking about it. There was no internet. There was nobody. It was just another phrase, another concept, another term in Prabhupada's books, Nectar Devotion, Raghunuga Bhakti. Okay, what is that? I don't know. It's some kind of bhakti. Whatever. So then, now it's like we have Sanskrit books and translations, three different translations, and Ban Maharaj and Bana Maharaj and Satyanarayan and David Haberman, and there's four or five, six English translations of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu available, and variations and more clarity in different ones, and commentaries also. So now, and then what to speak, there's so much publicity and so much knowledge about Raghunuga Bhakti. And despite all of that awareness and curiosity, even now, as then, 40 years ago, very few people will take up Raghunuga Bhakti. And then less. no one even heard about it or could even think about it. Because it's a matter, as I mentioned earlier, it's a matter of mercy. He says, Adonika Sanskara. Adonika means you get the mercy in this life from a Rag Bhakta or from your Guru or from Krishna. Then you can begin. That's the real thing. You receive the mercy, that you have genuine rag, greed for these things, and then you'll read the appropriate books. So, and of course, sometimes people preach different things like this. Oh, you should be at the level of ruchi, because rag bhakti means, but there's many meanings to ragnuga bhakti. Rag bhakti means meditation. Primarily, it's a manasic practice of meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Astakale Lila, and a meditation on your Siddhadeya and doing seva there. There's all different levels of Raghunuga Bhakti. So, therefore, people say, how can you do Raghunuga Bhakti? Because you're still impure, you're at the level of Anartanivrti, so therefore you have to come to the level of at least Nishtha Ruchi. When you come to Nishtha Ruchi, then your brain will be pure and settled. And then maybe you can think about these things. But even if you come to the level of Nishtha and Ruchi, if greed has not been bestowed upon you, you still won't practice Raghunuga Bhakti. So this is not in our books. It doesn't say that you can't practice Raghunuga Bhakti till you come to the level of Ruchi. You can't practice Raghunuga Bhakti till you come to the level of Nishtha. This is what teachers, gurus, etc., Gaudiya teachers or even gurus may profess and even write about, that it's impossible to practice Raghunuga Bhakti until you come to the level of Ruchi or Nishtha. I've seen this on the net and read articles like this. There's nowhere in our Goswami Granths. They're not saying that. And Jiva Goswami's commentary on the section of Raghunuga Bhakti, 1-294 or so, he says, kinchit anubhav. In the Sanskrit, he says, kinchit anubhav. Kinchit, like niskinchin sadhu, you must have heard niskinchin krishnadas. Niskinchin, kinchin means a little. So niskinchin means not even a little. Niskinchin sadhu doesn't even have a little bit of desire, material desire. Or akinchin means he doesn't have he's anything. So kinchit, he uses the term kinchit anubhav. Kinchit anubhav means a little interest, a little experience. He said this is the qualification to begin Raghunuga Bhakti in his tika in that verse, in those verses where it talks, 294, 5 and 6. 294, 5 and 6 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These are the key verses. But the actual discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti begins verse 270, 1-270. And goes to 309. It's about 40 verses. So he says, kinchit anubhav. It's just a little experience. He doesn't say anywhere in any tika you have to be at the level of nishtha. This is the term, kinchit anubhav. So, but frankly speaking, now there's so much publicity, so much awareness, everyone's talking about it. Even some people think they're practicing. But if someone has greed and they begin to beginning of practice is what he's telling there. He says, Vajalokana Sarata. He says that you should, Madhurya Shrutvapi. You should hear the sweet Harikatha of Radha and Krishna and read their pastimes and associate with advanced devotees, Raghunuga Bhaktas. Then gradually that greed will increase and your rag will increase and your interest will increase and you'll progress on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. Until you feel a need to go deeper. Because in the beginning, even without meditating Astakali Lila, without having a Siddhadeya, or without having some inclination towards Siddhadeya, you can still do Raghunuga Bhakti because it's devotion mixed with rag in a specific way towards Radha and Krishna, Madhurya Rati, the Madhurya Rati pastimes. So you're reading. So you're basically at the stage of, that's what it says in there in those verses, by hearing. You're hearing about the Madhurya Leela and seeing the Madhurya Murtis of the Lord, Radha and Krishna and Astasakis in Vrindavan, and you're reading. So that your raga is developing and growing. And it may become so intense that you want to fully practice Raghunuga Bhakti, because part of Raghunuga Bhakti is in those three verses, is Seva Sadagrupena Siddharupena Chaturi. And this is a sadhana, Siddharupena, and you're a Siddharup, you're also supposed to meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna day and night. This is told in the Bengali version by Krishna's Kaviraj of the same verse in the CC. He's saying, Nijamone Shiradeya Rachi Kriya Krita. He says, day and night you should meditate, Rachi Dina Krita Dhyan. Meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna day and night in your mentally conceived spiritual body. So this is a sadhana practice. So one's rag might develop where, oh, how do I realize my siddhadeya, or how do I enter those pastimes? So then one may approach a guru, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Harinam Chintamani and also in Jivadharma and other places, that you approach the guru and the guru gives you your siddhadeya. Or maybe by more rare way, traditionally, maybe by Nambhajan, of course by Nambhajan, the name is so perfect, through dreams, through Nambhajan, many ways that may come. Krishna may reciprocate with the jiva and give him his siddhadeya, as I mentioned earlier, or he may get his siddhadeya at death. Krishna may give siddhadeya at death, Krishna may give siddhadeya through guru, Krishna may give siddhadeya through nam, Krishna may give siddhadeya through swapna, through dream. It's a gift of Krishna. It's a treasure. It's the Mahanidhi. It's a great treasure, the greatest gift. Someone says, oh, I had a dream and I got my siddhadeya. This is Indra's idea, or he said, and he wrote about that. So who can challenge that? It's possible. Krishna's unlimited. And you can judge a thing by its fruit. So many people say, oh, in a dream I saw my siddhadeya, or I got my siddhadeya. But then you watch, okay, you're so advanced and you're so fortunate that you're a Kripa Patra, a recipient of Krishna's mercy, Kripa Patra, that Krishna deemed you qualified and fit and eager and greedy enough to give you a siddhadeya in a dream. Now what are you doing? Oh, nothing, I'm just going to parties, saying chuck-a-chuck prasad. But in the case of Indra, you know, he had this dream of his siddhadeya, Prabhupada telling whatever. I don't remember all the details of his dreams, which he would tell sometimes. And then we see, well, what happened after that? Well, very serious bhajan and very serious absorption in developing that revealed identity. So that's because he had greed, because he had rag. So generally, if someone may fake it and say, ah, in a dream, I got my siddhadeya. But the proof positive is, what now? What are you doing now? So when Krishna feels that one is qualified and fit, when Krishna sees that one is qualified and fit, then he will make arrangements to reveal, he'll make the arrangements so the person advances in bhakti, whatever they are, by sarvasanga, by particular shastra, or if it necessitates the reception of a siddhadeya, then that will be given. Krishna knows. Krishna knows past, present, and future. But to speak against it and to deny it and say it's wrong and false, this is not correct. And to concoct ideas when you can meditate in rag bhakti, we should follow the Mahajans, follow the Shastras. If someone has greed, then nourish it, guide them, help them. No, why you have this greed? Why you want to just read about Radha and Krishna? You just joined yesterday. Go out and sell books. But wait a minute, Guruji. So then if you go against someone, if it's really your nature, really your greed, then something's going to bust. Person say, how can I stay here? My heart is pulling me this way, and I'm sincere and genuine, but everyone around me is pulling me down to another thing and criticizing me and fault-finding me and limiting me. So there's no progress, so we have to move on. It may necessitate that. Progress means elimination and acceptance. If you want to progress, you have to eliminate one thing and accept a new thing. Right? A common, basic idea. So if I'm in this seat, it's very, okay, nice seat, I'm comfortable. But if I want to get the rickshaw back to Vrindavan, then I have to eliminate this seat. I have to eliminate this seat and then progress towards the temple stand, and then I can go to Vrindavan. It's like this.